produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome, everyone. This is Richard Floyd once again with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again. And yes, it's been another phenomenal, wonderful week. This last program that we aired was about the tender mercies of the Lord. And we have enjoyed many new experiences that relate to that. You know, in our previous program, we talked about the talk that Elder Bednar gave in the 2005 April General Conference, where he talked specifically about the tender mercies of the Lord. And he referenced that that comes from a scripture that Latter-day Saints are very familiar with, found in the Book of Mormon, in the first Nephi, in the first chapter, in the 20th verse. And specifically what it says is, "But behold, I, Nephi, will show unto you that the tender mercies of the Lord are all over all those whom he hath chosen because of their faith to make them mighty even unto the power of deliverance." Now, you might question that phrase where it says over all those whom he hath chosen. That may seem like a pretty exclusive group. If we think about that a little bit, what does that mean? You know, who are they whom the Lord has chosen to receive his tender mercies? Well, Elder Bednar goes on to explain in his talk. He says the word chosen is central to understanding the concept of the Lord's tender mercies. The dictionary indicates that chosen suggests one who is selected, taken by preference, or picked out. Can also be used to refer to the elect or chosen of God. Some individuals who hear or read this message erroneously may discount or dismiss in their personal lives the availability of the tender mercies of the Lord, believing that, quote, "I certainly am not one who has been or ever will be chosen," close quote. We may falsely think that such blessings and gifts are reserved for other people who appear to be more righteous or who serve in visible church callings. Elder Bednar says, "I testify that the tender mercies of the Lord are available to all of us, and that the Redeemer of Israel is eager to bestow such gifts upon us. To be or to become chosen is not an exclusive status conferred upon us. Rather, you and I ultimately determine if we are chosen." Please now note the use of the word chosen in the following verses from the Doctrine and Covenants. This again is Latter-day Scripture found in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In the Doctrine and Covenants in the 121st section, in the verses 34 and 35, we read, "Behold, there are many called, but few are chosen. And why are they not chosen? Because their hearts are set so much upon the things of this world and aspire to the honors of men." Let me repeat that. There are many called, but fewer chosen. And why are they not chosen? Because their hearts are set so much upon the things of this world and aspire to the honors of men. I'm sure we've seen many examples of individuals who are caught up in material things, who seek praise and to be recognized. And I'm sure that at some point in our life, maybe we've had some of these experiences or feelings. But it's critical to understand that the choosing is not something that the Lord does to discriminate. It's because of how we choose to be chosen or not to be chosen. Bednar goes on to say, I believe the implication of these verses is quite straightforward. God does not have a list of favorites to which he must hope our names will someday be added. He does not limit the chosen to be a restricted few. Rather, it is our hearts and our aspirations and our obedience which definitively determine whether we are counted as one of God's chosen. Enoch was instructed by the Lord on this very point of doctrine. Please note the use of the word chosen in these verses, found in Moses chapter 7, verses 32 and 33. Behold, these thy brethren, they are the workmanship of mine own hands. And I gave unto them their knowledge in the day I created them. And in the Garden of Eden gave I unto man his agency. And unto thy brethren have I said, and also given, commandment that they should love one another, and that they should choose me their father. Brother Bednar says, as we learn in these scriptures, the fundamental purposes of the gift of agency or to love one another and to choose God. Thus, we become God's chosen and invite his tender mercies as we use our agency to choose God. One of the most well-known and frequently cited passages of Scripture is found in Moses chapter 1, verse 39. This verse clearly and concisely describes the work of the Eternal Father. Quote, for behold, this is my work and my glory to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. A companion scripture found in the Doctrine and Covenants describes with equal clarity and conciseness our primary work as the sons and daughters of the Eternal Father. Interestingly, this verse does not seem to be as well known and is not quoted with great frequency. But in Doctrine and Covenants, section 11, verse 20, quote, behold, this is your work to keep my commandments, yea, with all your might, mind, and strength. Thus, the Father's work is to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of his children. Our work is to keep his commandments with all of our might, mind, and strength, and thereby become chosen, and through the Holy Ghost receive and recognize the tender mercies of the Lord in our daily lives. Elder Bednar talks about that in that very conference, which the Latter-day Saints were participating in, he said, was another example of the Lord's tender mercies. Quoting, he said, we have been blessed to receive inspired counsel from the leaders of the Savior's church. Timely counsel for our day and for our circumstances and for our challenges. We have been instructed, lifted, edified, called to repentance, and strengthened. The spirit of this conference has fortified our faith and fueled our desire to repent, to obey, to improve, and to serve. Brother Bednar says, like you, I am eager to now act upon the reminders, counsel, and personal inspiration which we have been blessed during this conference. As he concludes his message, he talks about, in just a few moments, each of us will receive one of the Lord's tender mercies as we hear the concluding remarks and testimony of President Gordon B. Hinckley, who was the president of the church at that time. Truly, quote, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works, found in Psalms 145:9. Well, as I have been thinking about the tender mercies of the Lord as a follow-up to our last program, I'm very mindful just how blessed we can be by the tender mercies. As I mentioned in our previous program, there was a multitude of tender mercy experiences, and needless to say, time did not really permit me to really scratch the surface. But I wanted to share a little bit more with that in mind. Now, go back with me. This was an experience that I had in 2015. Early on a Saturday morning in 2015, when I awoke, I was surprised in remembering a dream that I had just had. And by the way, this was the most unique dream of this kind that I had ever had. In the dream, I was in the presence of President Gordon B. Hinckley, the prophet, president of the church, who had by this time passed away. And in that dream, I remember I was having a discussion with President Hinckley about some historic event that had occurred in England. When I woke up and was thinking about this, all I could remember was he mentioned something about an event at, and the word need came to mind. And there was some thoughts that I had about some name of a key figure or person, I thought, named Runyon. Well, needless to say, I was a bit perplexed and was very curious what was the event mentioned in my dream and why this conversation with President Hinckley. Knowing a little history in terms of England, I was thinking that perhaps this was a battle. And as I attempted to Google the two keywords, Meade and Runyon, I could not find any connection that made sense. So early on, I mentioned to my wife this dream and what had been my thoughts and experiences. And after some discussion, she said, well, try the word Runnymede. And as soon as she said that, I remembered that word. It was familiar to me. I knew it had some significance in history. Well, as it turns out, Runnymede is the location in England where the Magna Carta was signed in 1215. After reviewing articles about the location, the document, and the event, needless to say, I was still puzzled at what significance all this would have with President Hinckley. So after some thought, I decided, well, let me Google his name together with the word Runnymede, and there it was. In October of 1992, President Hinckley, in his rededicatory prayer of the London, England Temple, said the following, quote, we recognize that it was at Runnymede in this county of Surrey in the year 1215 that the Magna Carta was signed, establishing principles in behalf of the freedom and dignity of man. Through all the centuries that have followed, these rights have been preserved, implemented, and enlarged. They have spread from here and have been incorporated in the constitutions and charters of other nations across the earth who have established governments that derive their powers from the consent of the government, of the governed. Freedom to think, to speak, to assemble, and to worship is basic to the happiness of mankind. We acknowledge thy divine hand in the establishment and preservation of that freedom in this United Kingdom. President Hinckley goes on to say in the dedicatory prayer, quote, these principles, divine in their origin, made possible the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ through thy chosen servant, through thy chosen instrument, excuse me, the prophet Joseph Smith. Now, as I read those words of President Hinckley's dedicatory prayer, my eyes became very moist and I noticed that I had tears streaming down my cheeks as I marveled at such a unique and amazing revelatory experience. Interestingly, as I was reviewing this experience in preparation for today's program, it dawned on me that this dream from 2015 was literally 800 years exactly from the signing of the Magna Carta in 1215. Well, as that day progressed in 2015, I found myself pondering what's the full meaning of what I had discovered and what was its potential application. Later on, while viewing the news on TV, I kept hearing various political leaders suggesting various curtailments of fundamental freedoms in an effort to protect our nation from significant threats to our peace and tranquility, or in other words, our security. Needless to say, as I read those words today, I was struck that here we are just 5 years later, and we are dealing even more so with curtailments of basic freedoms and liberties. And are we? Wow. But later that day, while on a teaching appointment with some of the missionaries from our church, we were visiting with a graduate student from one of the seminaries here in the Memphis area. And he was questioning whether or not there had been an apostasy. He didn't really believe that there had been an apostasy since the establishment of the Lord's church during the time of his mortal ministry. And so therefore, if there had been no apostasy, there would be no need for a restoration. Well, as I pondered on what I had been revealed to me in terms of President Hinckley's talk earlier in that dedicatory prayer, I was reminded of the miraculous events of the first vision and how much more difficult it would have been for Joseph Smith to share his experience and the restoration of the Church of Jesus Christ if it were not for the freedoms guaranteed by the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights. All of which was inferred in the words I had just read earlier in the day by President Hinckley. I remember mentioning to the seminary student that religious persecution had stifled religious freedom for centuries, and that even Joan of Arc had been burned at the stake as a religious heretic. Ironically, late that evening, I watched a fascinating movie on the BYU channel about the life of, you guessed it, Joan of Arc. Needless to say, as I thought about the experiences of that memorable day in 2015, I continue to be thankful for the many tender mercies of the Lord, which I am blessed to experience, not only on that day, but virtually each and every day. As I said before, my hope is that we may all recognize these tender mercy experiences in our lives, that we will acknowledge them by giving thanks to our Heavenly Father, and when prompted by the Spirit, share them with others to build testimonies. I'd like to share another experience in the time that remains. As some of you have heard me talk about, and as most of you know, I'm a convert as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I grew up in a Southern Baptist home, come from a long line of Baptist preachers. But in this moment here, I'd like to talk a little bit about my great-grandfather, Dr. John Richard Sampey, who served as the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville for 13 years, was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention or denomination for three terms during the 30s, and was a professor at the seminary there in Louisville for over 60 years. Fortunately for me and for those who have studied him, he wrote his memoirs, and other textbooks and other writings have been made available to me over the years since his passing and the passing of his widow and my parents. One of the books that I have is a compilation of sermons that he delivered over the radio in Louisville on radio channels. And one of the messages is entitled, "Where Are the Righteous Dead?" So I'd like to share this with you, as this has some significant meaning. Now, he was born in Fort Deposit, Alabama, on September 27th of 1863. He was the fourth child of James and Louisa Stampy, two devoutly Christian people. His father was first a Methodist and then a Baptist minister. And it might seem that my great-grandfather was destined for a life of ministry from the beginning. And so what I want to share here is a portion of that message that he delivered in 1945. He shares this, and I remember the night when I was reading this. Some years after we had joined the church. I'll get to the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, in a moment. My great-grandfather said, "Sometimes the Savior manifests himself to a soul in the crisis of conversion, when the soul surrenders itself to the Lord Jesus for all time. Well do I recall the hour when at the age of 13, I committed myself to Jesus Christ as my only hope. For months I had labored under deep conviction for sin. I felt the burden resting on my soul. I was well nigh desperate. I lay on the trundle bed beside my younger brother who had fallen asleep, but I could not sleep. At last I said, quote, 'Lord Jesus, I do not know what to do. I have prayed, but I get no relief. I have read the Bible, but my sins are still a burden on my soul. I have listened to preaching, but find no help. I do not know what to do except to turn it all over to you. And if I am lost, I will go down trusting you.'" Close quote. He then says, "Then something happened. It seemed that a great presence filled the room and said to me almost in audible words, quote, 'My boy, I have been waiting for you to do what you have just done. You can count on me to save you. I will not fail you.'" Close quote. The tears that dropped on my pillow were not tears of fear, but of gratitude and joy that Christ Jesus was now my Savior. I looked up at the old family clock on the mantel, and it was 8:05 on the evening of March 3rd, 1877, the day before Rutherford B. Hayes was inaugurated as President of the United States. On March 3rd, 1945, I celebrated my 68th birthday as a Christian. Now, when I read these words, I was touched in two significant ways. Those who are Latter-day Saints will recognize some interesting similarities and parallels to a young 14-year-old Joseph Smith. When answer to his prayer, he had that marvelous first vision experience. where he spoke face to face with Jesus Christ and saw the Father and saw the Son. So I see the parallels age-wise and that kind of a unique experience. But on a personal level, as he identified that March 3rd was his birthday as a Christian, the night I was reading this, I had goosebumps as I read that, because my grandfather, great-grandfather, passed away 3 years before I was born, so I never met him. But at that moment, as I read that passage, there was an instantaneous feeling of connection, because my birth was on March 3rd, 1949. Now, was that a coincidence? Obviously, I sensed a tender mercy, not knowing what it was then, but now looking back on it. Now, fast forward a few years, and it's New Year's Day, 1988, and, you know, the day we make New Year's resolutions and those types of things. And I remember later in the day when things had settled down and the family was in bed and I was still pondering and contemplating some things, I knelt in prayer, and I had a strong impression that I needed to go to the house of the Lord to do the temple work for this great-grandfather. And I felt impressed to make a covenant with the Lord that I would do it on my birthday, on March 3rd. And after completing that prayer and making that promise and covenant with the Lord, I kind of, like when I finished the prayer, was a little bit concerned because I had no idea what March 3rd was going to be. Could have been a Sunday where the temple was closed. Well, I quickly pulled out our church directory and calendar. And to my pleasant surprise, March 3rd, 1988 was on a Thursday. And it just so happened that our area, our stake, had a scheduled temple trip to the Atlanta Temple for the members of our stake to go to do temple work. Long story short, back in the day when you had to submit all the paperwork all the way to the genealogical family history department in Salt Lake City, I was very thankful that we lived in Memphis and had access to FedEx. We got all the paperwork done, and we literally were able to do this great-grandfather's work, as well as some other family members, on my birthday in March 3rd, 1988. I've looked back on that many times and now recognize that truly there was a tender mercy of the Lord's sequence of events and experiences from all of that. Well, let me conclude by saying that I testify to you that I know that we are in the tender care of our Heavenly Father, that He is mindful of us, and the Lord knows us and has a hand in our daily lives. And if we will just be mindful to recognize the tender mercies of the Lord as they occur in our daily living, we will be richly blessed. And I testify of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.